There's some difficult words in the Bible, and we're going to talk about one of them today. Now, I'm not talking about some of those words that are tricky to translate from Hebrew or Greek and the half dozen or so that are in Aramaic in the original texts. I'm not talking about trying to figure out what this might mean in this particular case in Greek or Hebrew or anything else, because, well, that's beyond me and probably not particularly of interest to you. So what might I mean? Well, if you look at the first verse of our epistle reading, this is in the New International Version because that's the large print Bible I have because I need one of those now. I urge then, first of all, the requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. So what's the tricky word in there? I think we know what prayers are, requests, and intercessions. The tricky word is everyone. Not because it's hard to understand, because it's easy to understand. Was it Mark Twain who said it wasn't the things he didn't understand in the Bible that scared him, it was the things that he did understand? We sometimes get hung up on parts of the Bible that are hard to understand and forget some of these other ones. Well, this one is very easy to understand, and I'm not sure I like it. Because what it tells us is that we need to do this for everyone. And then it goes on, just in case we think we know what everyone is and we can define some people out of existence. Once again, staying in the New International Version, we're supposed to pray for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Yeah, well, what if I don't want to pray for them? And that's what the sermon title is, and this, of course, is where it comes from. We're told that we need to pray for these people. Well, some things are fairly straightforward, and some things are easy. I think all of us pray for the people around us, the people in our circle. And we might think that's enough. But one of the things that I think we'll find in our circle is that the people in our circle tend to be people we like and get along with. That's why they're in our circle. Now, sometimes our circle includes co-workers or supervisors or someone else, people on a committee we're on, that we don't particularly get along with. But for the most part, the people that we are around the most, we like. So praying for them is easy. But what about those other ones? Because Paul doesn't say, pray for the people you know well. Paul doesn't say, I want you to pray for everyone who you know their birthday. Paul says, pray for everyone. Well, we may think this is too hard. And, well, it can be difficult. We do have a king now, but Charles is not particularly oppressing us, or for that matter, Charles isn't particularly having a lot to do with us. Instead, we have prime ministers, premiers, mayors, whatever else it might be. These are the kinds of people that are in authority over us. It's not the same kind of authority that it was back when Jesus was around and when Paul was writing this letter. But still, these are the people who have authority over us. And these are the ones that we're supposed to pray for. But what if I don't want to? What if people that were elected by others because I didn't vote for them, or they're not doing what they said they would even though I did vote for them, or something else? Part of me says I shouldn't have to do that. I just want them to disappear. I don't want, unless I'm allowed to pray that they be cursed, which isn't in this text or any text. So you're not allowed to do that. We're not talking about that. Well, it might be useful when we think of having to pray for an elected official that we didn't vote for, or even worse, we voted for, and then they did something completely different than they said they were going to do. If we take a look at the context in which Paul is writing. Because when Paul is writing saying, pray for kings and all those in authority, there were kings or emperors, which is just a fancy king. And the king at that time was Nero. Nero, who murdered thousands of people, murdered his mother, among others. Nero was, by all accounts, and admittedly the accounts are not comprehensive or exhaustive, but by all the accounts we have, Nero was a terrible person who had more power than he knew what to do with, and what he did with it was generally appalling. Paul doesn't say, pray for everybody except Nero because he's terrible. Paul says, pray for kings and those in authority over you. Well, why? Why do we have to do that? Well, one of the things that we do when we pray for people is we continue to be part of, in a sense, the process of them hopefully becoming better. If we know something better for them, and we'll use Nero because he's safely behind us, praying that Nero would stop murdering people would be a good thing. One of the things that you'll see there is that Paul doesn't say you have to like the person before you pray for them. Paul says, pray for everyone. That doesn't mean everyone in the world, by the way. You don't have to pray for everyone by name. You just need to pray for the people that you know of. You just can't say, well, I don't have to pray for that person. That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying we're not allowed to decide that some people aren't worth our prayers or aren't worthy of our prayers. Because there's something miraculous about prayer, not just the answered prayer. I'm not dismissing that. I'm not dismissing the possibility that praying for a leader who is not doing what you want might not be part of the mysterious process of prayer where they change their mind and become more godly, more ethical, more whatever it is that we want them to be, as long as it's in accordance with what God wants also. Praying for people is good for us. There's an expression, maybe you've heard it, it tends to be said by the younger set, of which no matter how much I think I am no longer one of in any way, shape, or form. There's no definition now that lets me consider myself part of the younger set, so I just ask my kids if I need to know things, for my grandkids even. But if you heard the expression, someone living rent-free in your mind, what it means is that somebody is taking up space in your mind, taking up energy in your being without paying for it, without giving you anything. It's like somebody living rent-free in your house that you didn't choose is a net loss. It's not a good thing. So that's what we're talking about. Well, when you are grinding away at a politician, at a corporate leader, at a billionaire, at the person down the street, whatever it might be, when you are just, oh, they drive you crazy, they do that thing all the time, even though they should know better, and they probably do. They've taken up space in your mind. Because every time that you resent them, they're there again. And they're taking up space that could be used for something else. They're taking up energy that is not going anywhere of value. Resenting people that you have no connection with, resenting people that don't even know you were alive, is just bad for you. It's bad for your physical health. It's bad for your mental and emotional health. It's just bad. So what do you do about it? Well, you can try and just not think of them, but it's kind of hard. Or you can pray for them. I know I've told you the story of one of my fellow students who talked about prayer bombing his roommate. And when his roommate annoyed him, and as anybody who's gone to college, particularly or university, particularly if you did it when you were young and had a roommate that maybe you didn't choose, and even if you did, there are going to be times when that person drives you crazy. And so what he did is he would prayer bomb him, which didn't mean that he would pray that he'd break his leg or something. No. He'd pray that he did well in his classes, that he did well in that intramural game, that he and his girlfriend would get along, that he'd get a good night's sleep, that the food at the dining hall would be what his roommate wanted for that day. And he'd pray these things, and he said the irritation sort of evaporated. And I've done this myself, and it works. A roommate, someone you care about, usually doesn't take very long. Some people, it takes longer. But when you pray for people, it changes you. And sometimes changes them also as God takes those prayers and works with them to change the person into something better, someone better. But even if we don't see that betterment in their end, we become better people. Because how easy is it for you, because I can only speak for myself, it's hard for me to actively hate somebody I'm praying for. Because I've tried it. When I was younger, figuring out this stuff, okay, fine, I'll pray for them if I have to. It doesn't work very well. But if you can take that step back, just the step back, and pray for them. It does great things for you. Because what it does is it turns them, and I'm thinking particularly of the leaders and the kings and all those things. What it does is it takes them from a two-dimensional cardboard cutout, a decision-making device that annoys you, and turns them into a person. Because when we're praying for a politician or a corporate leader or whatever it might be that is doing something that we think is wrong, we're not praying that they continue to be wrong. We're not praying that they will continue to make bad decisions. We're praying that they will be open to the Holy Spirit's leading them to become better at what they're doing so that all can become better. And when we're praying, often I find myself, when I'm remembering leaders and such, I find myself praying for their family. When I'm looking at a headline and resenting a billionaire, I don't think of them as having a family. I think of them as just being this despotic thing, not even a human being, barely. But when I pray for them, suddenly they're become more rounded. They become more the same kind of person that I am. Flawed but loved. But I don't want to pray for them. It's something we're allowed to feel, but it's not a stance toward the world that we're allowed to keep. Paul's very clear here. Jesus is clear in other parts that just because the leaders above us are wrong in some things they do, doesn't mean we can just hate them. Doesn't mean we always have to obey them. There's a place for political action of all sorts. But hatred, we never see how to hate people and not sin. We can be angry and not sin, although that's really hard for me. But we can't just hate people. And one of the things when we address the fact that we are having this kind of struggle with someone is we get them out of our head. They're no longer living in our head rent-free, and we didn't even have to evict them in a nasty way. We've just taken them out of this category of irritant and turned them into another human being. So do we have to pray for prime ministers and MPs, for premiers and MLAs, for mayors and councillors? Yes. Paul doesn't say do this if you feel like it. He says, I urge you to do this. This is an important thing for you to do. And the nice thing is that it's good for us also. Which is often the case when we obey what we're told to do by God and godly people, is that it turns out to be good for us also. I find if I have too many people or too many situations living rent-free in my head, I'm a less good partner, parent, friend, human being. If I can address them in a positive way, I become better. And if you can do the same, so will you. And every time we pray for our leaders, whether we elected them or not, whether we voted for them or not, whether we agree with everything or anything they do or not, when we pray for them, we become more ourselves. Because we're not looking at people as two-dimensional cutouts. We're looking at them as human beings just like us. And the more we become ourselves, the more we're working in concert with God to become the people we were created to be. To do the work that we were created to do, because our context is unique and only we can do what we can do in it. And praying for our leaders, praying for those around us, helps us do all of those things better. Amen.